I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. It's time for Marketplace Monday, where we examine the latest financial news. Joining me on the line from Los Angeles is Bob Moon, Marketplace's senior business correspondent. Bob Moon, thank you for joining us.
Callie, good day from L.A.
Oh, good. I want to start right off with a look at the jobs report from last Friday. There was a time not too long ago, how about a month ago, where every time one of these reports came out, people were breathing over every line of it. This seems to be a little bit under the radar and very mixed in its review. Help me put it in context. It seemed to be that new jobs were created, 155,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate is still 7.8. This looks good, but...
It looks good on the surface, but the question is, where are those jobs coming from? Many of those jobs were in the service sector, that is, retail, construction, things of that nature. And so the question then becomes, is this going to be sustainable? Are we going to see this kind of growth continuing on, particularly when you think about December being a month where retailers especially hire on a lot of extra holiday help? Will that continue? Will this be a hiring trend, or is it just a one-off? We just don't know.
So I was looking at the site investors.com. They have a particular take on the jobs numbers. The title of their report is Ho-Hum. It's another lousy jobs report for Obama, so you can kind of know where they're coming from. And mm-hmm. they say that really that the unemployment rate for real is 10.7%, taking into account what you just said about that the retail, perhaps seasonal employment.
Yes, and the other part of the jobs numbers, which is always hanging out there, is how many people are still out there on the fringes who have been looking for work for some time but have dropped off, have been dropped off the unemployment rolls, if you will, because they've just given up. And so that could also inflate the number because there are a lot more people out there who just have given up trying to find work.
So, Bob, what would look like, what do numbers have to be to make it a good jobs report? Because what confuses me is that the stock market went up. So, you know, for the rest of us out here in the world, that would seem to indicate good stuff is happening. And yet, when we parse this jobs report as just as we have, it's doesn't look that good.
I think I saw a number somewhere that said even with this 155,000 jobs added, that's good. That's encouraging. It's an encouraging sign. But it could still take us another maybe 4 years out before we come back to the numbers that we were used to, back to the level of employment that we were used to. So even then, 155,000, even though it sounds relative to what we've been used to lately, like a big number, is really not anywhere near what we had been seeing before the Great Recession.
And the fact that in addition to retail, there's construction and other service-related jobs, and people keep telling me that construction is a real good indication, if that goes up, of an economy on the upswing, still just not enough bottom-line numbers.
Well, that's true. And then the question becomes, what happens in the months ahead? I mean, this is all, in some ways, a question of fate, of whether the jobs numbers will continue to tick up. We have seen some encouraging signs in these latest numbers. On the other hand, we do have that new increase in the payroll tax that funds Social Security that we're all going to be paying a little bit more of once again. And a lot of economists are concerned about the hit that consumer spending is going to take from this. And, of course, consumer spending, what we all spend on goods and services, accounts for roughly 2/3 of the American economy. So that can ripple across the entire economy. If people aren't spending as much, will more people be laid off? And it could become a cycle.
I'm speaking with Bob Moon. He's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, and we're examining the latest financial news. We've talked job numbers, and Bob's just brought up something that I don't think a lot of us realized, which is that we're about to have smaller paychecks. Let's talk about that a little bit more. What do you mean by smaller paychecks, and how did this happen?
Well, this is this 2% increase in the payroll tax to pay for Social Security. It's kicking back in after a break that we got from Congress in recent years. And now, let's say you earn $50,000 a year, you're paid twice a month. It means that each paycheck is going to shrink by around $42, $100,000 a year, $84 less each pay period. And as I say, there is some concern that that is going to hit consumer spending. There are, on the other hand, some bright spots. I mean, how do we make up for this? Just this morning, I see that the cost of a barrel of oil has ticked a little lower. And right now, prices at the pump are at their lowest point in almost a year. So that helps moderate the effect on our spending power. And also, it's admittedly very small, but last month there was another rise in hourly earnings, 0.3%, according to those Labor Department numbers that we just got. This was the second straight monthly rise in wages. That's in large part because of the improving job market. It means employers are starting to feel some pressure to make salaries a little more attractive. So on the one hand, our paychecks are a little healthier. And on the other hand, this may be a case of what the boss giveth, the government taketh away. And also, this report in the Des Moines Register that I saw spins this in another direction. It says Americans can expect price tags for many goods and services to increase faster than take-home pay again this year. That could be anything from higher food prices to the rising cost of health insurance. So we may not have plunged over the fiscal cliff, but we really haven't steered too far away from it either.
Well, that was going to be my question to you, and that's about the food prices. I mean, they've been giving all of us fits as they've gone up, some food products specifically. So I just assume that's going to go up and it will wash out whatever rise in hourly wages people have gotten, because though I'd be happy for a lowering of oil prices, still food prices is something that hits everybody very hard.
Yeah, there's a question about oil prices. I think I saw a story that suggested from one analyst that they could still head back up in the coming year to maybe around nationwide $3.95 a gallon, which would be much higher than they are now. So, you know, you got to keep your fingers crossed to some degree about this economy.
All right. Bob Moon, Marketplace's senior business correspondent. I really hesitate to bring up fiscal cliff because I thought we beat it to death here. Certainly our David Gura and your compatriot had to talk to us about it quite a bit in the last few weeks. But we're looking at it again, and there is a lot of not so compromising back and forth going on between President Obama and the Republicans. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah. You know, they didn't steer us away from the fiscal cliff so much as build a big plank out there that has both parties hanging over the edge now. Here's what they still have to deal with to bring the country back on solid ground. They have to prevent the U.S. from defaulting on its debt. That could happen as soon as late February. There are across-the-board spending cuts set to kick in at the beginning of March, and that could cause an economic hit. And later in March, the temporary measure that funds government activities is set to expire, so we could see yet another spending fight then. Now, the Republicans say that they want any spending increase to be matched with savings from Medicare, other benefit programs. But over the weekend, President Obama used his weekly address to the nation to draw the line. And in fact, I can play you a couple of clips here so you can get a sense of how much both sides are digging in. First, President Obama in his speech.
One thing I will not compromise over is whether or not Congress should pay the tab for a bill they've already racked up. If Congress refuses to give the United States the ability to pay its bills on time, the consequences for the entire global economy could be catastrophic.
And then, yesterday on CNN's State of the Union, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham laid down the Republican line.
If you raise the debt ceiling by a dollar, you should cut spending by a dollar. I believe we need to raise the debt ceiling, but if we don't raise it without a plan to get out of debt, all of us should be fired.
So what do you think, Kelly? Does that sound like compromise?
Well,
to
probably
you?
All of them should be fired, but just taking the last part of that. But no, it does not sound like compromise at all. And we also have that 2-month deadline hanging over us in addition to everything else. So from your wise eye, where are we going with this? How's this going to work out?
Well, I can tell you that Wall Street isn't optimistic. In spite of that big 300-point jump, almost 2.5% in the Dow last week, that felt good. But analysts are predicting plenty of turmoil because of all the unknowns. And if there's one thing that the stock market hates, it's uncertainty. President Obama noted over the weekend that the last time Washington took the country to the brink like this last summer He said our entire economy suffered for it. And again, this time, economists are warning that any default could trigger a global recession. So we're right back, really, in the same boat here. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said yesterday that these spending cuts are going to have to be part of any of these talks here. And he strongly suggested that Republicans were prepared to see the nation plunge over that cliff, if you will, to default on its spending obligations. He used the phrase, we have to use whatever leverage we have in Congress. Now, that may mean that neither side is going to be interested in compromising early. We're likely to see this go right up to the deadline again, with one side trying to force the other's hand. And even then, don't look for any quick fixes, because these are politicians, of course, so they're inclined to come to some kind of agreement that really pushes any big, painful spending cuts off into future years.
The proverbial kicking the can down the road.
That's right.
Well, one thing is certain. Whenever we speak with you folks from Marketplace, you know what you're talking about. So thank you so much for speaking with us today. Bob Moon, Senior Business Correspondent for Marketplace.
Thanks, Kelly. Good to be with you.
You can catch Marketplace weeknights at 6 here on WGBH. In the wake of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, the NRA responded that the best way to protect school children was to place a guard with a gun in every school. But scientific studies consistently find that where there are more guns, there are more violent deaths. So could the answer to curbing the number of guns that are out there and the number of gun-related deaths be found in public health successes? I'll bring you that story next. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.